The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the soon-to-be snow-covered heartland of America, welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert.
What do you mean soon-to-be? It already
well,
is snow-covered.
Well, once again, recoated.
Rico, eh? This is Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. We have much to discuss. Derek, of course, is back from his nap. I had posted to Facebook that he was napping because of his son. He says he's recovered.
Yes, and Sharon made some wonderful homemade vegetable soup that produced the desired effect.
I threw it on his head and
yes,
he
woke
jumped
me right
up.
There we go. Well, today is January 10th, 2011, and we now enter our official 14th year.
We finally made it through that year 13. Whew.
Yes. Our 14th year begins today. We're married 13
years
ago today.
We're in the Hobbit year.
Yes. So, well, let's get things going.
Let's do.
Of course, you want to start with the real horrific incident over the weekend?
We can. Is there a reason why I can hardly hear myself in my headphones?
Let me turn up the headphone volume just a little bit. How's
that?
That
will help. That helps tremendously. Thank
okay.
you very much.
All right.
Now I can hear it. I don't have to talk very, very loud.
You need more soup.
We
or you need to get the soup.
I'm sure there's a song in there, a country song in there somewhere. Speaking of that, you and I did a duet in church, and that was the problem there as well. We got halfway through the song before I finally heard myself in the sound system. I was over singing. Well, it sounds like my voice is trying to quit right now. Anyway, yeah, of course, everybody's talking about the tragedy.
Sure.
And you know, here's a sad story at Newsweek.com. There's a story suggesting that this can be the Oklahoma City bombing opportunity event for Obama. President Obama is off to a good start in his handling of what the networks are now calling the tragedy in Tucson. The moment of silence he asked for on Monday at 11 a.m. resonant for older Americans of the exact hour on November 11 each year that the World War I armistice was once observed is an appropriate expression of what we need right now, less noise. So
well,
in order
and,
to
you know,
attain less noise, he's going to make less noise.
Yeah. Of course, we're talking about the
more
shooting
noise.
Of Democratic Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and
we
numerous other people.
Absolutely have been praying for her, for her recovery, for her family, for the victims, for their families.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who – there were 14 people shot in addition to the people who were killed.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people are recovering. We have some things that we are going to say tonight in because there are things that we have observed, questions we have about the event. You know, this happens at any time there's a major wounding event for the nation. We all have to stop. We're all shocked for the first hour or so. And then after that, you have to start looking at it as we do, trying to figure out exactly what happened.
And, you know, there are – that necessarily leads into some speculation, and so treat it as such.
It does.
One of the interesting things that I'm sure others have noted already is that the date of the shooting, which was Saturday, 1-8 of 11, is essentially another 9-11.
And the little girl who was killed
9 years
was
old.
Born on 9/11/2001.
Yeah.
It was 119 days after her ninth birthday. So a 9/11 backwards.
Yeah. Jared Lee Loeffner, the alleged shooter, although plenty of witnesses will put him at the scene with a gun in his hand, has been charged now, federal charges, and his photo released by the sheriff's office in that particular county Pima County, Arizona, and it's a creepy looking photo.
They've chosen a very creepy photo of him. There are others that are just, he just looks like a hometown boy.
Yeah, not to be flippant about this, but looking at this photo, he looks like what a young Uncle Fester might have looked like from the old Addams Family TV series. And again, I'm not trying to be flippant about it because, you know, he was creepy looking, and that's the photo that they've chosen to post to the internet, chosen to release to the public, has that same sort of creepy look about it. I mean, he's got sort of a Mona Lisa smile in the photo, which is not what you'd expect to see on the face of someone who has just killed, allegedly, half a dozen
people.
And
let's talk about him for just a few minutes before we get into other questions about this event. Jared Lee Loughner is supposed to have posted lots and lots of insane-sounding rhetoric, most of it typed, into YouTube videos.
Right.
He's got some graphics up there as far as charts and things like that that make it appear that he is essentially saying religion is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So one might call him an atheist. Also talking about mind control, and there are allegations that he was stalking
Representative Giffords, right?
Exactly. We'll get into that a little bit as to why we think that may be actually true. But there are photos that just came out today of what looks like, honestly, a satanic shrine or altar in his backyard.
Yeah, it's a replica of a human skull in a...
Looks like a flower pot.
Like a flower pot, yeah, surrounded by...
like it's growing there.
Yeah. Surrounded by oranges that are so old they're turning brown. And then some candles. Now, apparently this was out in the yard, but it was shielded from the view of the neighbors, so they weren't able to see it. But it again begs the question, why did he put that there?
Well, again, we are making the assumption that he did put it there. Assuming he did, then
that's true.
What was it all about?
Yeah.
But honestly, there was enough time for many things to have been done to his domicile.
Sure. And he was living with his parents. So, again, it's not impossible that that was actually put there by the parents. So we don't know for a fact. I guess when somebody does something like this, it's easy to jump to conclusions and say, satanic altar in the backyard, must have been the guy with the gun. Not necessarily, unless somebody actually saw him do it, or there's some compelling physical evidence, like his fingerprints and his fingerprints only on those things.
That's right, and he brought up the gun.
Well, also getting back to the YouTube account, we don't know for a fact that he's the one who posted those things to YouTube. Anybody could have done it and put his name on those things.
Why? What he really needed, then, if that's true, as do we all, according to Obama... We need a trusted user ID so that when we post things to the internet, you know for sure that that was posted by that person.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That and gun control. I mean,
right. This
is the fact that he was posting rhetoric that was vitriolic and insane sounding to the internet. I mean, this is going to get into internet control, gun control.
Sure.
It's already... getting into free speech issues.
Well, the sheriff of Pima County, whose name I'm bringing up here while we talk, made some comments early on that this is due to the vitriolic political talk that runs rampant in this country. Sheriff Clarence Dupnik said that it's... you know, just a product of the political atmosphere here in the United States. Well, you know, look, I'm sorry. If you do any reading of history at all, going back over 200 years, there were people talking this way about political opponents in the early 19th century. I mean, they took here in little Shelbyville. You can, you know, pick up some of the local history books that will talk about the shooting that took place right at the corner of Broadway and Harrison in the middle of the street following a political rally. In the late 1890s. So, you know, this stuff has gone on for years and years and years. It's not something that's brand new, but it was, and you raised the Oklahoma City issue, a point that was made and hammered by Bill Clinton in the 90s, who blamed talk radio, conservative talk radio,
That's it. Yeah. It's conservative talk radio that is being blamed. Conservatives who are being blamed.
Yeah. And that's a double-edged sword. because some very astute observers picked up very quickly that a blogger at Daily Kos, who calls himself Boy Blue, who posted a piece a few days before the shooting, identified himself as a not just a constituent of Representative Giffords, but someone who had volunteered to work on her campaign and donated lots of money to
thousands.
Her and went out of his way to point out that he did this while recovering from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Won't go into reason why he shot himself, but he brought it up, so I don't feel any qualms about mentioning it.
Is there any evidence that Boy Blue is Justin Lee Loeffner?
No. There's no
Justin or Jared?
Jared.
Sorry, don't have it.
There is no connection, as far as I know. But the point is that this Boy Blue at Daily Kos, whose post, by the way, has been scrubbed from the Daily Kos website, but it's been
screen caps
are floating all over the internet. And I've linked to one at my blog. He basically said, and I will quote now, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is dead to me now, end quote. Now, that was posted on
dead
Thursday.
Dead was in caps.
I didn't see that in the screen cap. I think somebody may have emphasized that. In the screen cap from Daily Kos, it was not emphasized in the screen cap
that I saw, it was capitalized.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I was looking at something else. Point being, though, that if you want to point fingers at vitriolic political talk, it's not just a conservative thing. Okay, it goes both ways; it cuts both sides.
Absolutely.
Of the aisle. And
look at the things that you've seen on MSNBC, for goodness' sake.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's reprehensible to blame free speech, political talk, and the internet for what Jared Lee Loeffner allegedly did. You just have to call a spade a spade. In this case, the kid was sold out to evil, and I mean intelligent
amen.
Evil, powers
amen.
And principalities.
Amen. That is, and you wrote that in your piece.
Yes.
And amen to that, honey, because that is exactly what is going on with this young man. Glenn Beck, however, isn't sure what's going on. He has posted a letter today, and I'll quote one of the paragraphs says, "All evidence points to the fact that the assailant from this weekend was severely mentally disturbed. His belief system was not rational by any modern political standard. He was an atheist, believed George W. Bush was responsible for 9/11, feared a global currency, cited the Communist Manifesto as one of his favorite books, progressives, and thought the Mars rover landing was staged. These are not the opinions of a coherent individual."
Wait a minute now.
I know. I would say that many of our listeners could check off a few of those.
Yeah, so could
I know I could.
You and me.
Yes.
Well, oh boy, a global currency. And this from a guy who was one of the only major media analysts to give any credence to the North American Union.
He goes on to say this. Those who hate George W. Bush are not to blame. Those who don't believe in space travel are not to blame.
Okay.
This is not about winning a political blame game.
Well, that's true.
He is right about that. He has another thing that was quoted. It's not in this letter, but according to the article, at his own website, mind you, the article quotes him as saying, "I will continue to say hard things. I will continue to challenge and probe. I will continue to question with boldness even the very existence of God."
That's interesting.
"But I will do it with honest questioning and let the chips fall where they may."
Well,
this is a man who claims to be a Christian.
Yeah.
He questions the very existence of God.
That is an interesting thought, an interesting concept.
I know it is.
You know, Christians shouldn't be afraid of questions about the
nature
of God.
No, absolutely not. But once you have become a Christian, you've settled that question in your own heart.
Or you should have, yeah.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of the questions. And there are some really good resources out there for addressing those objections raised by skeptics and disbelievers.
It's like calling yourself a Cubs fan when you're not even sure Chicago exists.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. He probably I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I don't know.
I'm just quoting what, and it's right here at his own website.
Don't know that I would have phrased it that way. I disagree with your police work there, Lou. Glenn, you could have phrased that a little differently. But he has said some interesting things for one who professes to be a Christian. It's all, you know, Christianity, of course, you know, as a professing Mormon, we would not classify him as a Christian.
No.
Because Mormon theology, if he truly believes.
It's not the same Jesus.
Yes. If he believes in the teachings, the official doctrines of the LDS Church, he does not believe in a creator Jesus. He believes in a created Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And he believes that he can become equal to Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Which, interestingly enough, is the same goal as the New Age movement and the transhumanist movement. They're all streams
it's
that are headed.
Singularity.
That's right. That's right. Well, he said some interesting things. Like he said, I don't have a problem with gay marriage. Well, you know, we love people who profess that orientation, just as Jesus told us to love all our neighbors. And Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, but the fact is, God was very clear on the issue of having sexual relations with persons of the same gender.
Absolutely. Trust me, if you walked into our home with your gay partner, we would have no problem. We would love you. We would hug you. We would have you sit down and you know, let's all have snacks together.
Sure.
I mean, it was, you know, when we don't share our snacks lightly, I'll tell you what.
That's right. Although we might now because.
Well, we'll get into that if you want to. But the fact is that there are things that about that lifestyle that we just don't believe are consistent with a walk according to the Bible.
Right. If you accept that God is who he says he is, and the evidence strongly compels us in that direction, then you have to take his word very seriously. Mm-hmm. And when he uses phrases like abomination, you know, that's a pretty strong condemnation. So,
but trust me, that is a conversation we might have with you once. And if you say, look, I don't want to hear about that anymore, mm-hmm. we're still going to love you. We're still going to invite you in our home.
Sure.
We're still going to share our snacks with you.
Sure. But
if we have any.
That's true. but we're not going to budge from the opinion. I mean, and because it's not our opinion. It's God's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have recognize that there is a God and he is not us.
Exactly.
So
there's that.
So anyway.
Well, let's get back to the questions that we had. We had a few questions about this event that took place. That this truly is a tragedy.
One of the bizarre things that's popped up, kind of got to the internet yesterday, Sunday, was that it appears, looking at what we believe to be the YouTube account of Representative Giffords, is that she had subscribed to the YouTube account of Jared Lee Loeffner.
Mm-hmm. It does look that way.
Again, we don't know for a fact that this is her official account. We presume it is. We don't know for a fact that that was his account, but we presume it is. And this is, I mean, you went to the site. You went to the YouTube account. This wasn't something that you saw from a screen cap that could have been Photoshopped.
Right. I actually went to the site.
Right.
You know, it occurs to me that there is a story out there that he was stalking her.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that or seen that as quoted by the sheriff's office?
No, I have not.
The reason I bring that up is I watched Sanjay Gupta explaining Representative Giffords' injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, this is exactly what he said. And you can verify this by any story. The bullet entered the back of her head.
Which, if she was the target, you'd think is.
Well, if she was the first one shot, mm-hmm. which you would assume, if she was the primary target, she would have been the first one shot. She would have been facing the crowd, mm-hmm. and you would think that Laughlin would be in the crowd, and therefore you would expect her wound to enter from the front.
Sure, that is an interesting point.
Well, which begs the question, was she the first one shot?
Well,
and if not, was she the principal target?
And there's some speculation out on the net. And again, it sources back to whatdoesitmean.com, which is a site we do not recommend.
Well,
we
I think there are a few other people that have come to that conclusion.
Well, sure, I've asked the question, but the speculation that I've seen that's been repeated most often was that Judge John Roll was the was the target, because he was ruling on a currency seizure case, which when I did a little digging at forfeiture.gov, is a fairly common procedure. People who try to cross over into the United States or leave the United States and smuggle items, currency, drugs, whatever, that can be seized by the United States government. And there are plenty, dozens posted every month of cases of currency and other material that have been seized either at the border or as part of a drug bust or whatever. And they're posted publicly so people who have a claim to that material can file with the government to try to get it back. And apparently he was about to rule on the seizure of some $333,000. And the speculation was that this was actually a test case as to whether the government could take our 401ks and IRAs. It had nothing to do with that.
No. So apparently it didn't.
There are plenty of questions that can be raised out there, but let's look really at the evidence and let's try to be discerning and not spread, you know.
Well, here's another question I have about the event. There was a second person of interest who, initially the sheriff's office was mentioning him. There were photos that came from a CCTV camera. A gentleman, sort of thin, long hair. The story out now, and I'm reading this from Portfolio.com, is that Jared Lee Loeffner's fare for his taxi ride, this gentleman, person of interest, turns out to be the taxi driver, that his fare for his taxi ride to Representative Gifford's Congress on the Corner event at Tucson, Arizona supermarket was $14. 14 people were shot. And all Loeffner had, well, besides those who were dead, had was a $20 bill.
Huh.
The taxi driver didn't have change, so Loeffner and the driver went inside the Safeway to get change. Let me tell you why I think that is a really, really odd thing. Apparently, there was a video on YouTube that Loeffner put up there that indicated he had no plans to survive this event.
Hmm.
If he thought he would be killed by the sheriff's office or planned to commit suicide as soon as he finished his shooting, why worry about change for the driver? Why not just say,
give him the 20?
Keep the change.
That's a really good point. That is a really good point.
Wow. That story is there to explain why the driver left his car and was photographed on CCTV inside the Safeway store.
That's really interesting. Huh. So the speculation, and now this is speculation, that this driver might be something other than a taxi driver.
Well, you know, that's my question. I'm not going to go beyond that, but that is my question. Why worry about the change?
That's a really good point. Well, some other interesting little tidbits that were published at WorldNet Daily today, even though Loeffner on his website, his alleged website, professed to be an atheist. Of course, we talked about the odd little shrine in the backyard, but others who knew him, who've been interviewed by the media, said that they really thought he was into the occult. He dabbled in conspiracy theories, which, of course, again, makes you listening at home potentially dangerous and perhaps even culpable, and his political radicalism. One of the most disturbing things about this event, aside from the tragic loss of life, and especially that little girl, is that there are some people out there who were so quick to jump on the potential political motivation of the shooter. It almost seemed as though they were praying harder that it would be revealed that this guy belonged to the Tea Party than for the recovery of the victims.
Yes, exactly, because it would very quickly have derailed all of the things that the new House was trying to accomplish in the first few days.
Yeah.
Now what is happening in Congress is that men and women are tripping over each other to try to put forth bills that will in some way enhance the protection for members of Congress, I have no problem with that.
Sure.
But if you get into, let's also control the internet, let's also control free speech, let's make sure everybody is tagged and bagged before they've ever, you know, thought police.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going with this.
Well, this gets back to what we talked about in recent weeks regarding the backscatter X-ray machines and what Secretary Napolitano was calling homegrown terror.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be safe in our hometown. If you see something, say something. And we need machines, not just at airports, but at bus stations and train depots and at the Safeway, apparently, now.
What a name, Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
It's the not-so-Safeway.
Yeah. So anyway, there will be more questions, and we appreciate any thoughts, ideas that you've got on this issue.
And please continue to pray for everybody involved, including Loeffner's family. I mean, can
sure.
you imagine what they must be going through right
mm-hmm.
now?
Mm-hmm. So there's that as one of the big items of the day. In fact, that's taken up pretty much the entire program.
Well, I want to say one more thing. It's just
sure.
an observation that when President Obama came out right after the shooting to, you know, give his remarks and to ask for prayer for, well, not really sure he used the word prayer. Don't have the text in front of me. But he made this from a room where he was able to stand directly in front of a huge oil painting of Abraham Lincoln.
They don't pick those settings lightly.
They do not. So.
No. Well, watch to see how this was, how this is used in the weeks and months ahead by our government. To, as you say, control us from even more than we already do. I mean, this certainly plays into the meme that we've been hearing for months, that we need the enhanced security and the enhanced pat-downs because you never know when the next Jared Lee Loeffner, the homegrown terrorist, is going to pop up. And we pray that Representative Giffords makes what, by all accounts, would be a near-miraculous recovery. I mean, the bullet passed straight through her brain, and she is alive, and she is apparently... Well, I've not seen a recent report.
Well, she's responding.
She's responding. I've seen she was reported that she had died within minutes of the shooting.
I know.
And
it's miraculous. And we just we praise God.
Yeah.
We praise God that she has come through this and that she is apparently doing so well. I have to say one last thing. Sorry about this.
That's all right.
Speaking of head wounds, Ariel Sharon is apparently responding.
He's been out of circulation almost as long as Francisco Franco.
He's back home now, and apparently, you know, responding. So I don't think he's going to actually wake up. But the word is that his eyelids flutter and he will move his hands when you say his name. So
That is astonishing. We speculated about that. You know, of course, you may remember that he suffered a serious stroke. Was it 2 years ago now?
Is it two or three? I mean, it may have even been four. It was a while back. We can find out can get to it faster.
But we had talked about this. You know, of course, you know, there's a prophecy that the Antichrist, and I'm certainly not speculating that 4 years.
Yes. January 2006.
Yeah, so almost 4 years to the day, 4 years and a week. Well, anyway, not suggesting that Ariel Sharon is the Antichrist or anything like that.
No.
But there is a prophecy that in the Bible that the Antichrist
that
will suffer.
Monkey out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always pictured the Antichrist as being someone, you know, sort of like Hollywood looks, you know.
Sure, sure.
Ariel Sharon, not so much.
Not so much. But, well, you know, it would be an amazing recovery for a gentleman who's certainly lived one of the more remarkable lives of the last century. So, well, until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Happy anniversary,
I'm Sharon
love.
Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.